Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning this question. As Christians, how can we express our joy in today's world? Well, today's world is full of problems. Division in our country, turmoil, situations with other countries, lots of things that concern us. Well, what about in our own families, in our own congregations of the Lord's church? But the question again is, how can we express our joy despite all the situations that may be around us? And we went to the book of Philippians, Paul's inspired writing here to this congregation of the Lord's church in the city of Philippi. We sometimes refer to it as the Epistle of Joy. And so our task was to see how the Apostle Paul expressed his joy while a prisoner, as he's in Rome when he wrote this, chained to a guard 24 hours a day. Of course, they would exchange the guards as their watch ended. But we noted, first of all, Paul expressed his joy for the fellowship of his brethren and by his praying for them. And then secondly, we noted Paul expressed his joy regardless of his outward circumstances. Certainly, as you look at Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so this morning we want to continue our study of noting how Paul expressed his joy while being a prisoner. We'll continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together in the assembly to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also having a proper attitude. That's following John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I can assure you, you're going to be welcomed with a warm welcome. We love to have visitors. And if you are interested in studying the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities. And if you would like to start a Bible correspondence course, we have those available free, of course. And your Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, they're always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, which has our past radio sermons, our bulletins, and other information, it's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one other thing I'll mention at the end of the program, the times of our service is given. So, let's get back to our study of answering the question, how can we, as Christians, express our joy in today's world? And we're going to Paul, the inspired apostle, and seeing how he expressed his joy as he wrote to the Church of Christ in Philippi by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So let's pick back up now with Philippians 1:25-27. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Did we notice the unity there that's brought out? In one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. But here is what we want to note as Paul expressed his joy as he encouraged the brethren to increase their joy. As we encourage one another in the Lord's church, we should be able to express our joy in doing so. As their joy increases, does that not make us feel joyous as well? Of course. So let's learn from the inspired Apostle Paul's example how he was encouraging his brethren despite being a prisoner. And he does this in all four chapters of the inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Philippi. We just noted chapter 1, 25 through 27. Now let's go to chapter 2, 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. See there how Paul is encouraging them to increase their joy along with his joy. It goes together, doesn't it? Now chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul is rejoicing in Christ Jesus. He wants the brethren to do the same, and he takes joy as they do so. Now, there's warning here. Beware of dogs. That's not dogs as an animal, but no, that's false teachers that come in as with looking as a lamb, but inward they are ravening wolves. And Paul is noting that, as Jesus certainly warned the same. Now notice chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, do not worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Now note, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, that uplifts us, doesn't it? To understand the peace of God that is within us. What does that mean to us? Well, it means that it's keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That means quite a bit, does it not? But note, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how we ought to think. Just as Paul pointed out by inspiration here in verse 8 of chapter 4. But note, Jesus taught his followers concerning being full of joy. For example, John 15, 10 through 11, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Paul understood that a Christian's spiritual growth includes increasing in joy. That's right. We need to do the same if we're in the Lord's church and help others in increasing their joy. Certainly the Apostle John understood this too. 1 John 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Well, going back to the Apostle Paul, let's go to Romans 15, 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. So we can express our joy as a Christian by encouraging others and growing in spiritual maturity ourselves. The greater our joy becomes, the more our lights are going to shine. And they're going to shine before those whom we are around. Well, of course, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. So our joy becomes greater with increased knowledge and continual obedience of God's word. And as we have a greater appreciation for the blessings of the gospel of Christ, well, of course, our joy will intensify and overflow. That's right. But let's go on in our study of looking at the Apostle Paul, how he expressed his joy as a prisoner. Well, let's go to Philippians 1, 12 through 14. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds," by his chains in other words, "are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul expressed his joy as he taught the gospel of Christ to the lost as a prisoner. That's right. While a prisoner, Paul was converting some of the Roman guards to whom he was chained. Notice Philippians 4:22. "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." That's really something, isn't it? Here he is chained to these Roman guards 24 hours a day. And how many of them were converted? Well, we don't know the number, but we know it was plural. And so that's something to appreciate. Now, I want us to go to the end of the book of Acts. You'll recall Paul was a prisoner, as we note here in writing this inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Philippi. And notice Acts 28 now, 30 and 31. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him." So he wasn't in a jail, no, but he was chained nonetheless, but in his own hired house. And thus, people could come and visit Paul. And he would be doing what? Well, notice, "preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Now, you and I might like to know what happened when Paul went before Caesar. God didn't reveal that to us. What did God reveal to us? What's the most important thing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and doing so with confidence, as no man was able to forbid him. And of course, Paul could rejoice over those faithful brethren who he had taught the gospel of Christ. Notice 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. That's the way Paul looked at his converts, whom he studied with and taught them the truth. They're his glory and joy. Yes, and he had a crown of rejoicing. We can express our joy as Christians by teaching our children, grandchildren, other family members, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15, the second part of the verse. And the first part of the verse, notice, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh. That's right, of that reason, of that hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15 is a verse we need to know. Brethren, as members of the Church of Christ, we have the good news. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all nations and do what? Teach all nations. That's right. Preach and teach the gospel to every creature. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. What about us? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? We better not be. But let's go on in our study and note another example of Paul expressing his joy while being a prisoner. This would be Philippians chapter 1, 20 through 23. Notice, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Boy, we can see Paul was one who truly believed. He really trusted God. He was ready to die. For him, that is gain, because he's going to be with Christ in paradise, which is far better. But it was necessary for Paul to continue to live and preach and teach the gospel. And notice chapter 2, verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now that's what we're talking about here. Paul expressed his joy by being ready to die for the cause of Christ. What about us? You see, we're looking at Paul as an example to answer our question. Again, how can we as Christians express our joy while living in today's world? Well, this is certainly a way to do it, isn't it? Paul was able to do it. You know, having the knowledge that his name, that is, Paul's name, was written in heaven, well, of course Paul could rejoice even when facing death by execution. Now, he was released from this imprisonment, but later he was imprisoned again, and he was then executed. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and you can see Paul knew what was coming. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We want to be of those that love his appearing, do we not? Well, then we need to do as Paul and fight the good fight of faith to finish our course and keep the faith even unto death, because we'll have the crown of life, we'll have the victory. So again, we can express our joy as a Christian by not fearing death, but looking forward to our eternal home in heaven. Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Well, am I rejoicing in the Lord all the way? Bob Hawkins, you need to take self in inventory. All of us do. Am I rejoicing, having God's word in my heart? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah 15:16. Here are some questions for us all to answer, to reveal if I am expressing my joy as I should. Do I treat others like I want to be treated? Remember what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Number two, do I actually love my enemies? Again, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44. Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Are we doing that? You see, this is not to like them, but we're to love them. We hate the sin that people are doing. Certainly God does, but we're not to hate the sinner. That's right. Number three, am I a true follower of Christ? Well, Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny, take up the cross, and follow Christ. Deny ourselves. That comes first, doesn't it? Question number four. Am I able to be glad and rejoice in his salvation? Notice Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. What about Bob Hawkins? Are you glad and rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord through his sacrifice, which makes it possible for my salvation and for yours as well? 1 Peter 1:8, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, as you think about expressing our joy here in this life as a Christian, even though it's with difficulties going on, we're getting a foretaste of heaven. This is what it's going to be like in heaven. Continual joy. And as I have this joy in my heart today, I can think about how much more so is it going to be in heaven as I feel right now. That's something to think about, isn't it? And not only think, but to work towards the goal. Never give up. Never leave the faith. If I haven't obeyed the gospel, then certainly I need to do so. But if I have, I need to continue to do works of righteousness, not works of merit, but works of righteousness, staying faithful in the Lord's church, not some man-made church, but in the body of Christ, the church of Christ. It's His body. It's His church. And so, as we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, that's a must if we're going to have true joy and then be able to express that joy to others. So I need to hear the truth. That's how my faith comes. Romans 10:17. Now, I need to believe that Jesus truly is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who went to the cross and died for my sins in all the worlds. Once I believe that, John 8:24, I'm ready to repent, to get out of a sinful life. I'm going to determine to do God's will and no longer my own. I'm going to turn my will over to God. Through His word, I will be directed. Yes, Luke 13:3-5. Now I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. I'm not there yet, but this is before salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, stated before others. As you see in Romans 10:9-10, it's unto salvation. Confession with the mouth is made. Now, having made that good statement, that good confession, I'm ready to be immersed into a watery grave, a term that is called baptism, immersion, baptizo. I'm buried under the water, contacting the blood of Christ, coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And the Lord then adds me to His body, Acts 2:47. Study Romans 6:3-6, about the new birth and being buried into the death of Christ and contacting His precious blood. We thank You so much for listening today.